We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Here in the Word of God, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to preach this morning by the help of the Lord on these few verses. I want you to hold your Bible open in the book of 1 John, if you would. And I would just say here this morning, and take for a text the birthmarks of the true believer. Now, for the sake of this message, I remember when the boys were first born. They didn't. I know they're twins, but they don't look nothing like, and you don't have no trouble identifying which one is which. But I remember back then, the only way that I could tell the difference between them was that it wasn't a birthmark, but I'm just going to, for the sake of this message, I'm going to say it was a birthmark. Tyler had a little red spot right here on the side of his eye. So that's how I knew when I was talking to Tyler and when I was talking to Trey. Without that, it would have been impossible, not for most people, not for anybody, but for most people, for me, it would have been impossible for me to tell which one was which. But they had a distinguishing, Tyler had a distinguishing mark that identified him as Tyler. Now, so with that being said here this morning, did you know that true believers also possess certain marks that sets us apart from the rest of humanity? In other words, we could rightly call these things that set us apart as birthmarks, that identifies us as children of God. And so they appear when we are saved, and they mark us as children of God. Every saved person has every one of these birthmarks of salvation. Now some people doubt whether it's possible to know for sure that one is saved. Now, well, the Bible tells us, just for instance, there was two specifically mentioned in the Bible that knew for sure that they were saved. The first one was Job over in Job chapter 19 in verse 25. And Job said this right here, "For I know." Now, that's what he shall he start, "that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth." And the other, another one was the Apostle Paul, that said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, "For I know." There's that phrase again, "For I know when I have believed, whom I have believed, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So, yes, it's possible. See, God is no respecter of person, so you have the same assurance also. He didn't just let Paul and Job know that they were saved. He has given us the same assurance here this morning. In fact, one of the reasons for writing this little book of 1 John that we read from here this morning was to help people to know for sure that they've been saved. That was the reason. That's the reason that God allowed John to write this and gave it to him. As you read 1 John, it becomes very clear that he's trying to help a people to gain absolute assurance of salvation. Now, that word "know" is, if I have counted correctly, that word "know" is listed in there 39 times. 39 times in those five chapters of 1 John, the word no. Now, don't come up to me this morning and say, "Preacher, I think you're wrong. I counted and it was only 37. No, it's a lot anyway. So, 39 times it says that right. So, John is trying to tell us there are some things that we can know. And the most important thing that anyone can know is whether or not you're saved. There's nothing any more important in this world to know than to know whether or not that you're saved. Now that's why that I want to preach this message, but that's why that God's given me this. I believe, I hope it's not true here at this church, but I believe that Christians are sitting in churches all over the country today, don't know whether they're saved or not. Hoping so, maybe so. And so I wouldn't want anybody from this church to miss heaven because they were dependent on something to save them that was a counterfeit. That they was trusting something to save them rather than the true thing and miss heaven. I want everybody to know for sure if you're saved that you're saved. And I want you to know too this morning if you're trusting in something rather than the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, I want you to know that too, where that you can get right with God. And so if you struggle in this area of unassurance, if you struggle, I want to help you to get that matter settled once and for all here this morning. I want to share the birthmarks of a true believer with you and identifying the presence, that you can identify these birthmarks, whether they're presence in your life or not, or whether they're absent from your life or not. I want you to be able to identify that here tomorrow and help you to understand where that you personally stand in your relationship to God. I want every one of you to know that. I want everybody to know exactly where you stand in your relationship to God. And so if you have struggled in this area, there's no need to do so any longer. People struggle with it. I don't really know, preacher. I don't really know whether I'm saved or not. Sometimes I feel like I am. Sometimes I feel like I'm not. Sometimes I have assurance. Sometimes I don't have assurance. I'm just back and forth. God don't want you like that. Right. God gives you assurance makes it clear that you're not saved. And so let's look at these things together, the birthmarks of a true believer. First of all, if you look in chapter 1, or chapter 5, verse 1, the first thing is, the first birthmark is a spiritual conversion. A spiritual conversion. This verse tells us that the true believer is a person who believes that Jesus is the Christ. What then is belief? What does that word belief mean? Is it merely a mental acknowledgement of the facts? Is that all it is? Is it just a mental acknowledgement of the facts? No. Believing or believe, knowing something with the head, but it's also accepting that truth in your heart. That's what it means. Not just believing in your head, but accepting that truth down in your heart. And so genuine belief or saving faith is coming to the place where one is trusting nothing else, no one else but Jesus Christ for salvation. Did you come to that place in your life where you said, "I'm trusting Jesus and Jesus alone for my salvation"? There's no rooms for works. It's not Jesus plus works. If I do this or if I do that, that is not the case. There's no room for religion. If I'm religious, there's no good for good deeds or anything else. In the heart of the truly saved person, it's that you're trusting Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation. Amen. No works, no good deeds, none of these things. I cannot tell you whether you're saved or not. I can't tell anybody that, whether you're saved. Only you know what you're trusting to get you to heaven. I don't know what you're trusting to get you to heaven. I hope you're trusting Jesus. But I don't know. Only you know that. here this morning. However, we do have the promises of God in this matter. We know that God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hundreds and hundreds of promises are given us. And so we have this principle that runs throughout the Word of God, is that God is a holy God and that God cannot lie. Is that not true? God, you can trust the promises of God. If God says He'll save you for believing on Jesus, you can be assured that God will save you if you believe on Jesus and Him alone for salvation. What a promise this is. And so when He promises to do what He promises, He'll do. So therefore, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, according to the plan laid out in the Bible, then you're saved. And you have His Word on it. And not what Mama told you, not what somebody, your friend told you, but you better have more than that to base your salvation on. You better have it based upon what thus saith the Word of God. Yes. What the Word of God says. So here, and I want you some things, brings us, so this brings us here to the place where some questions must be asked and they must be answered. Has there been a definite, clear moment in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ and nothing else to save yourself? Do you have that? Do you have a definite, clear moment in your life where that you know that you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? Now listen to what this preacher is saying. Do you know that? Do you remember that? That clear moment when you had your experience, was it according to the plan laid out in the Word of God? Or what, did some preacher get up and tell a sad story about somebody getting a hurt or death or something like that, and your emotions got all out of control, and you went to the altar because of an emotional encounter? Now, if that's the case, then I'm afraid you might have missed it. Because, listen to what I'm saying. That experience that you had, do you know for sure that it was the Word of God that was preached or taught or you come to your mind that broke your heart and you saw that you were a sinner and you were truly sorry for your sins and you repent and ask God to save you? Is that the experience? Was it according to the plan laid out in the Word of God? Did you come to that place where you recognized and acknowledged your sin before God? Did you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. And I'm truly sorry for my sins. Did that happen in your life? Have you been lost? When you get to that place, then you become lost. When you realize that you sinned against God and there's nothing that you can do to get you back to God, to establish that. So until you can see your sins and yourself as a sinner, you cannot be saved. In other words, this process is called conviction. Until you get under conviction, then you cannot be saved. It's the Holy Spirit that drawing sinners unto Himself. The Bible says we cannot come to God unless that we're drawn of the Holy Spirit. You cannot get saved just whenever you want to, whenever you decide to. You better get saved when the Holy Spirit has convicted you that you're a sinner and He was drawing you to come to Jesus. Did that happen in whatever the experience that you're claiming for your experience that you're counting on to get you to heaven when you die? Did you recognize the horrible consequences of your sin? Wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Spiritual death means eternal separation from God. Physical death is a separation of the soul, the spirit from the body. Spiritual death is a separation of your soul, spirit from God. Did you recognize that? Namely, did you know because of your sins, you were separated from God? Did you know because of your sins you are dead in your sins and trespasses? And because of your sin, did you realize that you were headed to that awful place called hell? I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're unsaved, no matter what a good person you might be, if you've not been saved, then the consequences of your sin is eternal, always in that awful place called hell. Did you recognize that?
Right.
Did you realize that unless you got saved, you were going to that place? So this goes back to the knowledge of being lost before God. Did you come to the place where you understood completely what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and when he rose from the dead? Did you understand completely what that meant? Did you understand that when he died, he was dying in your place? He wasn't dying for his sins because he was without sin. He was dying for your sins. He was dying in your place, shedding his blood for your sins. Did you understand that when he arose from the dead, he did so to provide you with a new life? And so did you go beyond just knowing these things in your heart or in your hand to believing them in your heart? I worked with one of the best fellows I ever worked with at the Tennessee Eastman. Took me under his wing. He was an old, experienced mechanic. He took me under his wings when I didn't know how to do anything but haul hay, pick up bales of hay. That's all I knew. I didn't know anything about mechanics. Took me under his wings and trained me and taught me and was patient with me. And I talked to him about the Lord. And he'd say, I believe that. He had a head knowledge, but he never could get it down into his heart. He never could get it in there where it changed his life and changed him as a person. Yes, he believed everything about Jesus, but he could not get it to his heart. And the sad thing is that when he retired, I lost track of him and he passed away. And I don't know whether he ever got it right or not. In his hand, but couldn't get it to his heart. And so, did you come to that place? That you understand that his shed blood is your only hope for salvation. His shed blood is your only hope for forgiveness of sin. And so did you go beyond just knowing these things in your head to believing these things in your heart? Did you ask him into your heart and your life to be your personal Savior? Did you trust him and nothing else? You didn't say, well, I'll ask Jesus, but I'll live the best I can. And but I'll get baptized, or I'll do this. Those things are important, but they're not a part of salvation. When this experience took place, was it clear, crystal clear? I mean, when you look back now, is it a clear, defining moment in time when everything changed? Is that very clear to you this morning? When you think back at the time that you're counting on as what's going to get you to heaven, is that very clear this morning? Is it very clear of you bound as a sinner and asking the Lord, or is it sort of foggy, sort of hazy? And you can't, well, I don't really remember what happened. I don't really remember why I went up there. I don't really remember what happened. Or is the whole thing very unclear to you this morning? The fact of the matter is, when Jesus saves a soul, it isn't a thing that's done in a corner. It's clear, it's dramatic. You know it. And so the circumstances surrounding conversion may be different. The way you got saved, the circumstances surrounding you when you got saved, is probably different from the circumstances surrounding other people when they got saved. Or when I got saved. They may differ, but one thing remains the same. There'll be a specific point in time that you as a saved person can point back and say, right there is where I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life was forever transformed. Can you do that? I'm not talking about knowing whether it's 8, 10, 55 seconds. I'm talking about, do you know a place where you can specifically point back and say, right there is where I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and it transformed my life forever. Do you know? John said, I want you to know. Remember Paul on the road to Damascus, a defining moment where he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now looking back, in all honesty, how would you describe the event that you're trusting to get you to heaven? Something to think about. How would you describe that time? Looking back, is it very clear? Is it very dramatic? Can you honestly say that you trusted Jesus and Him alone to save your soul? If so, then that's the Bible way. That's what the Word of God says, and to God be the glory. I'm not trying to get anybody unsaved. If you're saved and you know you're saved and you got saved by the plan of the Word of God and what the Word of God says, to God be the glory, give Him glory and praise in the house of God. Yes. But if you're not, then you need to listen. Yes. Don't want anybody to miss heaven. The devil will give you a counterfeit. And he'll get you to trust that counterfeit and put off real salvation. And then you'll go to hell straight from the church pew thinking that you were saved. Don't want that to happen to nobody. Or would you have to admit that you really can't remember ever being lost? Maybe you grew up in a good Christian home. And that's wonderful. You don't ever remember when you were lost. You don't ever remember when you got down. Ask the Lord to save you. And so, in fact, the whole event is unclear. Maybe you need to come this morning then and get that, even if it's unclear. And maybe you are saved, but it's unclear. Maybe you need to come and get it nailed down. And so there will be the birthmark of a genuine spiritual conversion. The second thing is, in chapter 1, in verse 6 and 7, there will be a spiritual change. Now listen, I may not get very far this morning, but I want to handle this very carefully this morning. If you'll look over in chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, I said that there will be a spiritual change. Look what it says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, these verses tells us that those that are saved, we have a desire to walk in the light. And the Bible tells us in John 8:12 that Jesus is the light. So therefore, those who are saved will want to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. In other words, when you are converted, our whole life will change. When you get saved, your life changes. And this is the theme that runs throughout the whole book of 1 John. He tells us that the second birthmark of the true believer is a spiritual change in our lives. That's the second birthmark. A spiritual change in our life. Yes. When that you get saved. That's the second birthmark that everyone. Now you can't have four of these and not have the fifth. It's all or none. It's all or none. A good moral man can have three or four of these, or two, a couple of these, but you've got to have all of these. And so here, and this follows this thread throughout 1 John, and we want to see how that if we possess these marks of the new birth. Now, the first one, there'll be a desire for fellowship with the things of light. The person who is truly saved by grace will gravitate toward those things that have to do with the Lord. Yes. Things like the Bible. You'll want to read the Bible. Yes. You'll gravitate toward maybe prayer. You'll want to pray. You'll gravitate toward the church. Oh my goodness. I'm thinking there now, we may not have nobody here saved. Yeah, we do. We have some. We have some that church is not very important to. We have some that everything in the world comes before the church. We have some, I can't change a family outing, or I can't miss a family outing, or I can't miss this, or I can't miss that. I can go to church whenever I want to. Well, I don't know. Bobby's telling me, says, when I was able, I just quit going to church too, because every time I'd walk out the door, Patricia would be crying her eyes out because she couldn't go. I don't know. Better go to church when you have an opportunity and your health permits you to.
Right.
I believe if you're saved, you want to go to church. You say, preacher, don't start that old stuff again. Well, I'm starting it. Because I know that you're going to have to stand before the Lord one of these days and give an account to it. I'm trying to make it as pleasant on you as it could be. And it's not going to be very pleasant when you just openly deny and defy the Word of God. Live like you want to. We'll do this. We'll go to these sporting events. We'll do all this other stuff. I said, when you truly say by grace, that you'll gravitate toward those things that has to do with the Lord. Now, I'm not very popular this morning, I'm sure. But I want you to know when you get out of here this morning whether you're saved or not. You'll want to have fellowship with the saints of God. That'll be precious and special to have fellowship with the saints of God. I don't know why in the world somebody would say there's Christians and don't want to have fellowship with Christians. Listen, that just makes me, I don't think you'd be happy in heaven because the only thing that's going to be in heaven is Christians. I don't think they're going to be talking about any of this old worldly stuff down here. You know what I think the number one topic in heaven is going to be? Jesus, don't you?
Yes.
And we're going to praise Him and acknowledge Him and magnify Him and exalt Him. You say, well, we'd soon run out of superlatives. No, you can never describe Him in His fullness of who He is. And I think that's what it's going to be. And so you gravitate. And these things are precious. If you find that you've been drawn toward things pertaining to darkness or the world, you might need to check up on where you stand with the Lord. Listen. And then I want you to see in chapter 2, in verse 3 and 6. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 6. Look here. What the Bible says. It says, and hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that says, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that says he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. That's what Jesus said. That's not what Oscar said. And so there'll be a desire within the true believer to do the things God commanded us to do and to avoid the things God commanded us not to do. Do you have that desire? Do you have that desire in your heart this morning that you want to do what God has commanded us to do in His Word as Christians? And do you have a desire to stay away from those things that God has commanded us to abstain from in His Word? Do you have those desires here this morning? Genuine salvation is proven by our desire to obey God. According to verse 6, the genuine saved person will want to walk just like Jesus walked. Help me to be like Jesus.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.